Hello and welcome to Bayou to Beltway. I'm your host, Pearson Cross. Today we have Clerk of Courts, Mr. Louis J. Perrette. Mr. Perrette was elected Lafayette Parish Clerk of Courts on November 20th, 1999, and he served in that position ever since. Prior to his election as clerk, he served as district director for 7th Congressional District Congressman Jimmy Hayes, then Chris John, with a stint in between for Governor Mike Foster. Mr. Perrette is local. He graduated from Fatima High School. He went to USL at the time. He's married. He has two children. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Pearson.
There's quite a bit of mystery about what a clerk of courts actually does. People have a sense that it involves elections, it involves records, but can you tell us a bit about your official duties? What are you responsible for?
Well, what I like to say is a parish has a life, and it has a life of records, and that's what I do. If we were here talking in another state, you would be talking to three different individuals, because not only am I the clerk of the court, which means all the evidence, all the records, all the files having to do with that, we're also called the recorder of mortgages, conveyances, and other public acts. What does that mean? Every single time a piece of property is bought or sold, we have that copy of that transaction. You know, Pearson, you say, you and your wife say, you own your house. Louisiana is the only state in the United States, once again being unique, that you don't own the title to your house.
Wait a minute. What are you trying to tell me?
The clerk of court owns the title of your house in perpetuity. And what we do is we issue something called a mortgage certificate, which is like gold. You bring that to the bank. They give you money based upon the search of the public record, saying there are no liens or encumbrances upon your property. So therefore, I, Louis Perrette, this big nice stamp says Pearson Cross owns ABC Street. That's a unique thing. And then the third job, I have this little weird job that if we mess up, we're on the front page of the paper, and that's conducting elections. I'm president of something called the Board of Election Supervisors, which is an old holdover from the Huey Long days. But we hire, tabulate, train, and conduct the elections. On election day, I hire upwards of 800 part-time people. And they really are the unsung heroes of the election process. They help ensure the integrity that things are handled properly. You know, in Lafayette Parish, we have a great reputation. I think that's well-deserved for fair, free, and open elections. And those people help us ensure that.
Is there a background? Is there a screening for that? There's been a lot of talk in the media about, Donald Trump has claimed that 3 million people or a number of people voted illegally. So how do you prevent that kind of thing?
This is something that I have thought about for 18 years solidly since I've been clerk. I think it would be almost impossible in Louisiana, which I had the most knowledge of that I could share, for someone to steal an election. The people who work at the precincts, many times it's the same people because people like to work in their own neighborhood, their own home precinct. But those people are assigned randomly. Who assigns those people? A Republican sitting next to a Democrat, sitting next to an appointee of the governor, personal appointee of the governor. Now, we can't always agree to get those people where to go eat, much less how to fix an election. And it's all part of the training. These people don't get paid for the training that work at the precincts, but they come in. Many of them have been with us 50-something years, and we need that next generation to step up. You know, a 14-hour day for $200, $200. Commissioner in charge makes 50 extra bucks to drive the results cartridge to the courthouse and hand it to us. Those people care about their community. They are an integral cog of our representative democracy that nobody ever thinks about, you know, and I love working with them.
My father would have loved it had he been, of course he's gone now, but this is the kind of thing he would have loved to see all those people that would be right up his alley. Now, clerk of courts, tell me about which courts. Are we talking district courts, city courts? What kind of courts?
State district court is the nicest way I can say it most succinctly, okay? You've got city court in Lafayette. That's basically speeding tickets and traffic. And then you have state district court, which is the court that I serve and that I work for. And then you have the United States federal court. The way that I describe them is they're the ones who print the money. They're the ones who have the money. That's the $27 million, 204,000 square foot federal building. Unfortunately, I don't work in that building. I work in the state courthouse, which is 50 years old. We handle basically lawsuits, everything from birth certificates. I tell people in America we love files. When you're born, a file is opened on you. It's called your birth certificate. And then we follow you through your life. Most people, Pearson, can't afford paying cash for a house. 99% of the people mortgage their house. When you transact business, if you are arrested, if you are sued, if you sue somebody, all those files are kept on you. And then guess what? When you die, we don't give up on you. We open up another file. It's called a succession. And that's the simple process of making sure that people's property is passed along correctly to who they want and desire for that to happen. And I hope I said that succinctly enough.
I think you did. Now, you're creating a lot of records here, or you're the repository for a lot of records, but how are those records kept? Are we talking literally paper files now? Is there a move to an electronic system? What's going on?
It's a fascinating thing to me to watch the advent of technology. And yes, some records are still kept by paper. Lafayette Parish was created in 1823. Those records are – we call them our archival records – are beautifully written in some incredible penmanship in French. Well, those records are never going to be destroyed, never, okay? And then you come forward to, you know, the 1800s and you have this new invention, the typewriter. And then it becomes the mimeograph machine. You know, you and I are probably old enough to remember the old hand crank with the ink flowing everywhere and leaking out.
And that smell, that distinctive smell, right?
That's correct. And the bane and hatred of every record lover in the United States of America, onion skin paper.
Right.
Because that was something that was thought of a new invention that was very thin, but it becomes brittle over time. And I like to simply say to people, and I'll get to technology advances in a second, how many working 8-track tape players do you see? Not many, but the Dead Sea Scrolls are still with us.
Good point.
Paper is our friend. And paper generally lasts, if it doesn't have the iron gold ink, about 400 years. Now, nobody's been around to testify to that, but we've seen some of those records, and then you have the old papaya Dead Sea Scrolls. So you come forward to a Xerox machine. Oh, my God. That made lives so much better. And then these old monolithic machines, 3x5, called a computer, to where now you and I, and it's fascinating to watch this next generation, they have 99% of all the information in the world available on a 3x4 device that children upon birth are put a cell phone, an iPhone in their hands. And so while I still have these beautiful old records written in 1823, now we're moving to the digital age. And that's where you learn about terms called CD rot. I bought my CDs listening to old rock and roll, and everybody loves that. But guess what? A CD wears out at some point. Then you have CD gold, you know, supposed to be a little better quality, going to last 10 years. Well, in the life of our parish, Lafayette Parish, 1823, that does me no good. And so it's kind of schizophrenic in that I'm trying to preserve and maintain these beautiful old records at the same time scanning and imaging new records, and that it becomes a space saver, a time saver. We don't have to have the old records bound into a book today like we did years ago. So I'm consequently spending a lot of money on technology and scanning and imaging, not as much money on binding books. And so you kind of move those things around. But it's a fascinating story. And if you have anything to do with history, this is like falling into heaven.
It's interesting. While you were talking, I was trying to figure out whether a person with obsessive compulsive disorder would be enjoy a position like yours or find a position like yours drives them crazy? I'm not really sure.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm responsible for approximately 16 million records. Now, Louis Perret can't do that. I can't do that. I have 102 employees that are some of the finest public servants that I've ever had the pleasure of interacting with in my life. These people care about their surroundings, their community, their families, and they help us maintain and preserve those records. And then, of course, the main job that I have is making them available to the public.
Right, which I bet has its own sort of public relations. So your office has a lot of moving parts, right?
Absolutely.
As you've described it, it seems like a high wire act in some ways. How are you funded? Does the state give you money? Does the parish give you money?
Well, that in and of itself is a unique thing. I don't want to keep harping on it, but we have to go back to the person who had the most influence of Louisiana over the last 100 years, and that's Huey Long. We go back to these days. In our Constitution, every parish has the following people: a sheriff to arrest someone, a DA to prosecute someone, a judge to decide if they are guilty, a tax assessor to tax them, a clerk to keep the record, and a coroner to declare you dead. Well, all these other entities that I name, with the exception of the clerk of court, are funded by tax dollars locally. Every parish has these people. However, in Louisiana, Huey Long figured it out back in his day that the clerks could be a fee-for-service business. In other words, you want to get married? Give me the money for the marriage license. Want to sue somebody? Give me the money or we're not going to process the lawsuit. And so we operate off of fee-for-service business. Some years are better than others. And the money that does not come to fund my office is supposed to be made up by the police jury or governing authority. In Lafayette Parish, it would be the Lafayette Consolidated Government. Not only do they not give me any money, I checked last night. Last year, I gave them $265,000. The year before that, $342,000. Those are services that the clerk has the authority to charge for that we in turn give to LCG because they have financial constraints. And our job is not to make money like a business. It's to operate as similar to a business as we can, but it's to make sure that the clerk's office, which is records, are maintained and available for the future generations.
Wow. So you alone, out of all the locally elected people that are mandated by the Constitution, are in fact paying your own way essentially through fees.
Do
you get to raise fees?
Well, the state once again tells me when I can raise fees and how much you can raise. A classic example is you want a copy, most people, I want a copy of my parents' will. When you come in, if you will look that up, the price hasn't been raised since I have been clerk for the last 18 years, 50 cents. If you want employees to look
really
at
cheap,
50 cents. The law allows up to $2. Yeah. In New Orleans, every single thing is $2. But in Lafayette, if you'll make the copy, it's 50 cents. If you want my employee to do it, it's $1. Well, $1 at a time, last year my office made over $300,000 doing that. Now, you talk about a down Lafayette oil and gas economy, and make no mistake about it, we are all in the oil business. I tell people, hi, I'm Louis Perret. I work at the clerk's office, but I'm in the oil and gas business because we, as oil and gas goes, so goes us. The year before last, we made $800,000, a dollar at a time, making copies. Last year was $300,000. That is a direct correlation to the slowdown in the oil and gas industry. Now, people who transact and buy land and real estate people, all of that does produce some income, but vast majority oil and gas.
Wow. Very interesting. We are talking to Louis Perret, Clerk of Courts for Lafayette Parish, and we're going to talk some more when we come back in just a minute.
Hello. This is John Green, host of Night Train Jazz, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday from 8 to 10 for 2 hours of the very latest recorded jazz, as well as a sprinkling of oldies but goodies. That's Night Train, Tuesdays from 8 to 10 here on KRVS 88.7 FM in Lafayette and Lake Charles.
Journey with me to the far-flung regions of the world, where we'll explore world music with a focus on the harp in all its various forms. That's Harpistry, Monday at noon and Sundays at midnight on KRVS.
Hi, and welcome back to Bayou de Beltway. I'm your host, Pearson Cross. I'm talking to Clerk of Courts, Louis Perrette. What's a typical day for you like? Are there issues you deal with all the time? You go in the morning, do you do a little bit of this, a little bit of that? You're a government employee, so by one, you're out on the golf links. So let us know.
One is nap time. The golf links are three.
that's good to know.
The perception that's out there. No, a typical day for me is different every day. That's what I love so much about it. When I tell people, it's like being back in school, but I'm prepared for class every day because I've got some great coworkers to assist me. But generally, there are problems that exist every day with a succession, with mom and dad's will, with the lawsuit, with this home mortgage, with the financing of this, with the criminal trying to clear his record and coming up with his fee. So generally, it's kind of like playing center fielder. I'll field calls, and then people who come in, we used to call it in the old days hearing confession, people coming in just telling you their problem, and then some type of meeting, some type of public meeting. This job has allowed me to extend what I consider being a good citizen. I serve on several boards, not for money, but to make my community better. Good example of that would be the Evangeline Area Boy Scouts. I'm on their executive board. I've done that. I've been involved with Scouts now for about 15 years. Absolutely love it. No one's doing that for money. Serving on Women and Children's Hospital Board, not doing that for money. Things like that, my job has allowed me to do, which I consider an extension, really, of public service. And I'm old enough, Pearson, to remember meeting Senator Russell Long the first time as a 22-year-old kid, and he said, "Son, I want to tell you something. Return your phone calls." That was great sage advice from a gentleman who had been in office for 38 years. You can't – I'll never forget his follow-up. You can't always do what people want you to do, but you can return their phone call. And I think that's part and parcel of so many public officials who don't do that, why there's great pent-up anger and frustration with everything associated with the government. And it's sad to me.
You know? I wonder, David Vitter said kind of the same thing as well. So I'm wondering if Russell Long hit a few of the Louisiana politicians. You have experts on your staff, right? People that deal with specific areas like succession or some of the court issues or mortgages and so on.
Absolutely. You know, a little small thing was when Governor General made some huge budget cuts and they cut all these public health units in which – birth certificates and birth cards and death certificates were not issued anymore. Last year, we did that 11,000 times. Now, it's fascinating. Since 2001, everything has changed in America. I tell people there's 6 billion people on the planet, and they all want to be Americans. And I'll tell you, it's because of two things as I've traveled the world. Rock and roll music and blue jeans. But besides the point, we've got experts on my staff that may not have a college degree but have done criminal work for 30 years and can tell me pretty much with 90% accuracy how things are going to go. Or I'll have a case, a complicated civil filing, and an employee will say, "About 23 years ago, we had a case like that. Let me go grab that file." And within 10 minutes, you've got it right there in front of you. That, to me, is great public service, responding to people's needs in a respectful manner. That I think everybody should remember what we call the your mama rule. Be polite and treat others like you want to be treated.
And we should keep in mind that you're an elected official.
Absolutely.
Right? So you haven't faced much competition lately, perhaps.
Well, I've been very, very blessed. 90% of the employees that I work with are female. A lot better looking than me. And I tell them, if you're rude to somebody, by 5 o'clock that day, it's let me tell you what Luis Perret did to me today. Unfortunately, yes, I do have to run for re-election. I also tell my employees, I wish so bad they could go grocery shopping with me to see the people that stop me and compliment them upon good public servants. We can't do everything people want, but we can be respectful and we can try. And these people, I'm telling you, that work at the clerk's office, they care. And that's their end. They're non-civil servant. I like that.
Well, they say it starts at the top and works down, so this would be credit to you.
Now,
this clerk of court jobs, that's not your first political job. You started off working for some what are now Louisiana legends. What was your introduction into politics?
Well, my introduction into politics, I was born in 1963. So what that meant was when I got off of school as a kid and you got off the bus, you went and turned on the television. And I can remember like it was yesterday, my entire family watching the Watergate hearings. And we had been volunteers. We were something called TARS, Teenage Republicans. I was a preteen back then. But we volunteered on the Nixon reelection in 72. And then it was a natural progression for me. My parents are what I would call good citizens. I don't think we ever talked about Republican and Democrat. We talked about being good citizens. My dad was a war veteran, a hero to me. But it was very important for him to pay attention. We were very strange, the Perrettes. We sat around and read as a family. My parents took the Baton Rouge and Lafayette paper, and then sometimes New Orleans, sometimes Alexandria. Very, very interested and very well read. And so that was a natural progression for me. So I started out back when you used to lick stamps and lick envelopes. There was a guy named Douglas Straps who ran for mayor in Lafayette. And just started volunteering on campaigns and then started going to college. All this time I had worked I have 9 brothers and sisters and 6 brothers. We all worked in restaurants, busboying, washing dishes, waiting tables, cook's assistant. That's where I got my love of cooking. And started working for a guy named Jimmy Hayes who had never been elected to anything. And he got elected to Congress in 1986. And so for 10 years I worked for him. Staff assistant, executive assistant, district director. He loaned me out to a guy I had met duck hunting named Mike Foster who wanted to run for governor. Did something called Get Out the Vote, worked for him, worked on his transition, went back to work for Hayes. He ran for Senate and lost. Guy named Chris John wins his congressional seat. There is a school at Harvard that in about 1 week teaches you how to be a member of Congress, and they scare the living daylights out of you because everybody brings their wife. They all go because they want to say they went to Harvard. And they say, who's answering the phone right now? By the way, you're running for re-election in less than 2 years. Who's checking the mail at your house? Chris John stepped out of that meeting room at Harvard and hired me over the telephone and said, you want to keep your job? That was fortunate. And then I always knew I was interested in public service. And Mr. Dan Guiot, who did such a great job as clerk for 28 years, passed away. So I decided to take a gamble and run for office. And it's really been a labor of love to me. I know my friends tease me. They think I'm crazy being involved in the political environment. But it's what makes me tick. I like to deal with people and figure out what they do. And it's been very, very rewarding for me. Volunteering work to co-chair President Bush's, George W. Bush's campaign. I've done Republican and Democratic politics. When Richard Nixon resigned, it was like a death in our family. But people were ready for a change, therefore brought Jimmy Carter, which turned out to be a disaster. Great moral man, didn't know anything about the economy. That brought about the Reagan Revolution. And I'm very proud that with the exception of Reconstruction, I am the first Republican to take office in Lafayette Parish since it was created in 1823, with the exception, parish-wide, with the exception of Reconstruction, of course, when Democrats couldn't vote and Republicans ran the state. And now everybody's Republican in Lafayette Parish, and I've just it's been a great ride. I've really, really enjoyed it.
That's amazing. So you led the way.
No, I don't know if I led the way or
they said
what.
Follow Jimmy. No, follow Lewis. That's it, who followed Jimmy, right? I was thinking, you know, your work as district director for Jimmy Hayes probably introduced you to people in the area. And so then when you did decide to run for this office, you knew a bunch of these people, I would imagine.
Absolutely. There's nothing like a campaign. You think you know a community. I used to think there were four or five busybody coffee shops in every town. In Lafayette, there's 50, and you've got to hit them all. Those are the experts. You've got to see, and it's word of mouth. And people can spot a fake from a mile off. If you don't like people, it shows through. And getting to meet the public officials, what they call, I guess, derisively, the courthouse crowd. You know, there's been so many great stories, but traditionally in Louisiana, every parish was kind of run by the sheriff and the DA. And I knew that power base, meeting that power base, and then getting out and meeting people, you know. But the people who really matter in elective politics are the people who put up the money, and that's the local business community, the local banking community. And so it's been a great, you know, a great experience. Jimmy Hayes loaned me out to Mike Foster. Mike Foster had only met me once at a duck hunt, but interviewed me, talked to me, and said, I like this guy. I want him to run Get Out the Vote. Well, what is Get Out the Vote? Basically running for office in every parish in the state gave me a great sense of what really Louisiana is like.
Boy, that's a huge responsibility. At the time when Foster came out, I mean, I remember he was way back in the polls. He wasn't one of the major candidates. But
insurgent campaign, he did something that he was advised not to do that in retrospect is pretty smart. He loved to write himself. And he'd write these weekly columns, and he'd take them out in ads, and he would place them not in the major newspapers, but in the weekly small newspapers. And people took a liking to him, but he also switched parties on the day that he qualified for office from Democrat to Republican, which made him acceptable. Louisiana's 30% Democrat, and people may not have changed. I mean, the father of the Republican Party in Louisiana is Edwin Edwards. Because he made it possible for you to register Republican and get a chance to be franchised, to vote, because everybody was Democrat prior to that.
We are coming towards the end of our interview. Tell me this. Let's go back and talk about issues. Are there issues that are common to a lot of clerical courts across the United States that everybody's wrestling with right now? For example, I know there's an issue with getting a birth certificate in order to get a marriage license and some issues like that. A year ago, it was same-sex marriage 2 years ago.
Right. Yes, there is. And I would say that word, in a nutshell, is technology. And we have kept records in this country for hundreds of years in a paper form that now people want it instantaneously available over the internet. Government always is a behind the curve of private industry. Who pays for that? How do you fund that? Those are issues. Voting integrity. You know, the Help America Vote Act in the 2000 election changed the United States of America and the way that we vote for people. Those things, those voting machines are getting to be 15 years old. We need to address that.
I wonder if the federal government would step in and provide some money to help offices like you know, digitize your records.
They do that on a very small case-by-case record. You know, the Mormons have been great about doing that and digitizing those records. The federal government has paid for some of that along the Mississippi River, which is the old slave records from courthouses that haven't been burned down or destroyed.
Well, we've been talking today with Clerk of Courts Louis Perrette from Lafayette Parish. Thanks so much for coming to the show.
Thank you for having me. And if I could say anything to your listeners out there, please vote. Become part of our representative democracy.
Well spoken.
Bayou de Beltway is copyrighted by KRVS for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without written consent of KRVS is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of KRVS, its officers, and members.
Begin your Monday afternoons with world music centered on harps in all forms from around the world. Tune into Harpistry Mondays at noon and Sundays at midnight right here on KRVS.
on the next Radiolab.
She would try to say things.
I do art.
And couldn't.
The story of two artists.
Free-floating, almost dreamlike, sensuous.
Whose minds both unraveled.
The repetition, the obsession.
To the beat of the same drum.
Da, 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 dee, da, dee, da, 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 da.
Unraveling Bolero.
That's on the next Radiolab.
Coming up tonight at 9 on KRVS.
From the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, this is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.